Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Renaissance English History Podcast, a proud member of the Agora Podcast Network. I'm your host, Heather Tusco, and I'm a storyteller who makes history accessible because I believe it's a pathway to understanding who we are, our place in the universe, and being more in touch with our own humanity. This is a supplemental episode in which the Agora foreign correspondent, Travis Dow, who has about 8 million podcasts, but the one probably most appropriate for this one to mention is the history of Germany. He went to Wittenberg for the celebrations of the 95 Theses this past October, October 31st. We've just passed it. As you all know from listening to my show, it's been Reformation Month. So this is really the cap of it all. This is the cherry on top. Travis went to Wittenberg. He has recorded audio for a number of the various Agora podcasts that have been working on Reformation themed episodes. There's a number like the History of the Papacy, From Wittenberg to Westphalia. There's a number. So he recorded audio for lots of different Agora podcasts. And then it's a bit of a scavenger hunt. So you want to listen to this and then go check out the other podcasts to get the full picture of everything. And I will include the links in the show notes as well. So I'm just going to pass it right over to Travis. I'm not going to do my normal intro stuff because this is pretty short. So I'm just going to pass the ball right over to Travis and check out englandcast.com for the show notes to get the links to the other podcasts you can listen to. I hope you really enjoy this. And I'm so grateful to Travis for doing it. Thank you so much, Travis. It's such a wonderful piece of awesomeness. So take it away, Travis.
Hello, this is Travis Dow. As part of an Agora Podcast Network kind of scavenger hunt for the 500-year anniversary celebration of Martin Luther's nailing his 95 Theses on a church door in Wittenberg, I recorded some audio from when I was in Wittenberg on the 500-year celebration. So here we go.
Wow. All right. I made it. I'm trying to make my way through a crowd of people here. This is, of course, for englandcast.com. Hey, Heather. I'm here. I made it. And I am certain that I'm about to see some pretty cool stuff regarding Henry VIII, the Tudors. I know this because I'm sleeping on the curator's couch, and he told me so. And in fact, I'm here on assignment for the Renaissance English History Podcast. And I'll see what I can dig up on the Anglican Church and the beginning of the Henry VIII and the Tudors and all that. So, well, let's just see what happens, see what I can find.
Well, we stand here at the relief of St. George riding against the dragon. You see, he lost his pole already, but still handling the now lost sword. Probably had a sword in his hand. But the dragon is already nearly slain, the horse is prancing
and right.
Smashing him with the hoofs.
Yeah.
Apparently a female dragon.
I guess so, yeah, you can see.
But she's nearly done. And why do we show that here? For one hand, that is something Martin Luther quite knew well, because he had this St. George, this figurine. Was well known to him because it stems from his own parish church,
right,
Mansfeld, where he grew up.
Yeah, and I would say just for the listeners, it's like 4 feet by 4 feet, a meter, right. 30, but yes, a meter, half meter
from Limewood.
Yeah,
right. Very, very splendidly done. You can see very much every detail there. You see the horse and the horse gear. You see the knight.
It's amazing. Yeah, he's sitting on a skull and has his treasure or something. Dead knights that he already defeated.
The knights laying there with the skulls and the bones.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the background, you see the castle. And I think it's strikingly similar to the Castle of Mansfeld.
It's
nearly the same outline. Yeah. So I think it's not a coincidence.
Yeah. This is something that Luther saw growing up, like he knows.
Yeah, he did. And the legend takes place, especially in the local legend, that it's on the mountain where the castle is situated.
Okay.
So this is a close link to each other.
And
Luther used later on this idea of the knight riding against the dragon for his own fight against the papacy.
Yeah, so the dragon is like the papacy in this case, yeah.
And it's no coincidence that he called himself on the Wartburg then, as when he was there in disguise, Junker Jörg, which means Knight George.
Right, yeah.
Junker Jörg.
That's great, yeah. Wow.
Now, there was hundreds of thousands of people in Wittenberg for that day and around the day of Halloween 2017 for the 500-year celebration. And I was trying to look for specific things that would tie this back to England for Heather. And there was one obvious thing that I was looking for specifically, which is that, and I got to say, the exhibit didn't disappoint, but Martin Luther himself admitted that he had his own influence from Jan Hus. And Jan Hus was a century before in Bohemia, in the Czech Republic today. And one of Jan Hus's influencers was John Wycliffe from England, a century before that. And they did borrow one painting of St. Adalbert and Jan Hus from Prague and had it in the exhibit. That before that was Der Buddler. He was one of the curators of the exhibit, but also the creator of the secret cabinet in the original German. And he was explaining a relief of St. George from 1497, which Martin Luther grew up with himself, and compared himself as to St. George. For the 500-year anniversary, for the 500-year celebration, Wittenberg was really something to behold. There was a medieval market on one town square where Budler's apartment was, kind of. And he lives between the Martin Luther house and the castle where Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses, nailed them to the door. And there was knights and reenactments and a lot of happenings and good food and a lot going on in Wittenberg that day. A crowd of people. The exhibit of 95 objects of 95 people. They had Thomas Hobbes, a printing of his. They had something of Shakespeare's, comparing Luther writing down or translating the Bible as important of in German as the works of Shakespeare are to English, among other comparisons. They had the book containing the letter from Christopher Columbus, one of the early printings of him describing his discovery of the New World. And when I instantly knew I had something for this show was when they had an open letter printed. I love the printing press theme. This was the age, the early age of printing press, where it really helped. There was an early print of the 95 Theses themselves, and I mentioned that in a different show. But they had an open letter from Henry VIII and Martin Luther's answer. Henry VIII wanted advice on, one of his divorces. When Luther printed in 1520 the work De Capivitate Babylonica Ecclesiae, Henry VIII answered in an open letter, defending the traditional belief, and Pope Leo X commended Henry VIII on this. Luther replied a year later, 1522, basically to the answer to King Henry of England's book, which he calls him the Lügenkönig, the lying king. Henry did not appreciate this at all. He blamed Luther for a bunch of stuff. And Lutherans kind of had a bit of a discrimination thing happening in England after this. So even though, I mean, this is probably pretty common knowledge, but even though Henry VIII did end up splitting with the Catholic Church and dissolving monasteries and ordering that all churches in England have an English Bible, this did not happen out of the same theological reasons as Martin Luther. And even though the effect might have been similar here and there, it was kind of interesting that the two themselves were, you know, contemporaries and actually wrote open letters to each other. And Martin Luther really insulted Henry. All right, let's see. I'm pretty sure I recorded something else on the scene.
Oh my goodness, I hope audio turns out okay. There's a lot of people, this is a thick crowd. This little small village of Wittenberg is full. But sure enough, I did get some great content for Heather if it turns out, so I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it all recorded fine. But absolutely, open letters from Henry VIII was there to Martin Luther and Martin Luther's reply, which I thought was very interesting. So I hope you enjoyed that. And of course, if you want to get the full picture of what happened today on this, not once in a lifetime, but once ever exhibition, you know, the Budler, my buddy, was, well, the curator, went to the secret, you know, Vatican archives to dig up stuff, and definitely it was amazing to see. And I'm just going to go, I'm heading towards the market right now. But yeah, if you want to get the full picture today, it's too much for one show, really. So this is an Agora Podcast Network exclusive, meaning you're going to have to, well, I sneakily put some of it on the history of papacy, some of it on Ben Jacobs' Wittenberg to Westphalia, Wars of the Reformation, the Cannonball from Claude and Dan, which are two podcasting legends. And let me tell you, it was really something. I was a pleasure to be here. Thanks for forcing me to come, Heather. I really appreciate that. Definitely a good idea. And if you want to hear it all, some stuff I'm saving for myself for the history of Germany. So listen to that. Listen to History of the Papacy and, of course, the Agora feed. And I'll have all that information with links on podcastnik.com. Again, boy, I wish you guys could come and see this, but, well, that's why you sent me, right? So I'm going to about to hit up the market, see if I can find some. They have a medieval market. I just saw a knight walk by. It's really quite the experience. I do have some video if you check out the Podcastnik YouTube channel. But again, it's all linked on podcastnik.com. So take a look, and oh wow, there's more knights. There's a blacksmith. There's a lot of noise going on. I hope this recording turns out all right. Otherwise, I hope you enjoyed that, and thanks for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.